yes, it's 22 minutes past 11, of course. Sport in the Media with Dave Loudon, of course, from La Trobe University. If you want to get involved with Sport in the Media, get out to La Trobe University. Check out that website out there, because if you want to be in the media, they've got all the courses out there for you at La Trobe University. And we always welcome Dave Loudon and look at sport in the media and the way he sees it through his eyes. G'day, Dave.
G'day, KB, and thank you for that very nice plug for us, because
it's a changing field, the media, isn't it?
So.
It's not
very
just
so.
I'm going to be a writer anymore and write for a newspaper, because we see a lot of newspapers are, you know, dropping off, you know, writers and things of that nature.
Well, and journalism degrees
will
nearly be dead soon, because we've changed our name, as a lot of other universities have done, to Bachelor of Media and Communications. And you can study journalism, you can study sport journalism, but you can study media industries, you can study public relations. There are a lot of specific sort of communications areas now, and people are wanting people who are up to speed with social media. Business people want to know, how do you use it? What does it all mean? What conversations am I having? So if you're interested in any kind of communications field, you can start mid-year. So I will get on to sport in the media. But but this is a time right now. It's not too late, because end of July is the start of next semester. And our courses, you can start them mid-year. So if you're keen, or you're not sure what you want to do, or you finished school and you think, I didn't get the ATAR, come and talk to us.
Because you see a lot of people these days who have been outstanding journalists, because that's a changing world as far as, you know, just writing for newspapers, that a lot of those guys have gone to, say, football clubs, and they've become media managers at football clubs.
That's exactly right. And the extension of that is, so we started off with one media sort of liaison person. We've now got teams of people.
Yeah.
You look at Collingwood, they've got in-house TV show, they've got, you know, a whole suite of digital operations there. So it's going to get bigger, and you know, AFL Media themselves employ over 100 people now. So it's definitely an expanding field.
Now, one of our very own, Rita Panahi, who joins Daniel, of course, always on a Friday, along with Richo, wrote an article during the week about women's sport. And she actually wrote that she doesn't like watching women's sport because she finds it so inferior. And also she's made the suggestion that a lot of other people, particularly people in the media or media organisations, don't show women's sport, or they don't cover women's sport enough, and therefore they think exactly the same. But she doesn't like watching women's sport because it's inferior. What do you think of that article?
I actually thought she's pretty much on the money in terms of what most people think. Now, I'm going to try and go big picture and then drill back down to what Rita's talking about, and she made a couple of points about coverage as well. Big picture, sport is not innate. Sport is a social construction. You know, we create sport for our pleasure, basically. If we were starting sport today, would we construct sport so that half the population got a whole lot of money and were able to do it professionally, and half the population didn't? And we'd probably say, no, we might construct it a different way. Now, we know we can't. It's going to be very difficult. Well, we could, but we won't reconstruct sport so that women could participate, say, with men. So, say the best Matilda players could play in the English Premier League. You could reconstruct sport so that every English Premier League team had to have two women in it. But we're not going to do that. I understand that. So, what could we do right here, right now? And I'll get onto the coverage argument in a second. But right here, right now, the Women's Big Bash League starts this summer. Excuse me. And my understanding is the top player, the Australian national representatives in the women's cricket, will get about $10,000. Now, I don't exactly know what the men get, but I'm tipping it's a little more than $10,000. That's not per match. That's for the summer.
For the series, yeah.
For the series. Now, I understand that people, you know, that the women's game is not going to have the same commercial power as the men's, but is there something wrong with cricket? And there's an article in the paper today about, you know, recutting the pie. And I think, by the way, that Boxing Day test is complete furphy. That's not happening.
What, going to the highest bidder?
Oh, that's not happening. That's driven. That is political, if I've ever seen it. That is them putting something up and looking like heroes when they save the day, please. I mean, Cricket Australia well and truly knows, you know, that the Boxing Day test is going to be at the biggest ground. It makes them the most money. It's not going to change. But what they could do, cricket, is say, okay, we know the men's game is the most commercial. Why don't we take some of the money, instead of paying the top men $4, $5, $6, $7 million a year? Dave, you've been a great cricketer. You're a ripper opening batsman, but we're going to pay you $3 million a year, because we want $2 million to go into the women's game, and we're going to pay them $200,000. All the top women, we're going to pay them $200,000. And let's equalise women's sport a little more that way. Now, it's not just about money. There's a whole lot of other things that would come into women's sport. On the coverage point of view, though, you often hear people who are proponents of women's sport say, oh, the media doesn't cover it enough, or, you know. But when women's sport is on live, and this is the point that Rita makes, no one wants to watch it. It doesn't, you know, not,
why is
no
that,
one.
You think? Because I love watching women's golf. And,
yes.
And I go through the guide to find out when the women's golf
but
is
there's
on.
Not enough of us. I like
and
watching
I
women's
watch
golf.
It. I love athletics. I always, you know, I want to watch the Diamond
League.
Track and
field.
I want to watch track and
athletics,
field.
Athletics, you can watch men and women compete, not in the same race.
But I'm happy if it's just the women's.
Right, yep.
You know, the 1,500 metres or the hurdles or the 400 or the 100 metres or the 200.
But the commercial reality is there's not enough KBs. There's not enough people like you doing that. Because when the netball is on live on Channel 10, when it was, at 7:30, you know, prime time, there wasn't enough people watching it.
Which is strange because netball is played by so many people.
Of course. So participation doesn't equal
massive
viewers.
Massive participation.
And basketball is the
suffers.
Shining example of that as well. And I think we've had that discussion before as well. So where coverage is going, and this ties in with what we were talking about with Google and YouTube, is it won't be very long into the future when sports, all sports, so not just women's sport, but any minor sport, so-called minor in talking marks, will have the capacity to have a low-grade live coverage put on the web. So athletics now, you watch it, you know, and you can watch the whole thing all day from Hobart. Yeah. You know, it's not a great coverage, but it's not a bad little coverage. So you will be able to have access. So that will be the true measure as to what people want to watch. And I think the reality will be that people will still choose, as Rita said, bigger, faster, stronger, elite. And Australian rules football has the great advantage, of course, of being the best in the world because it's only played here. But people want to watch the NBA. They want to watch the EPL. The A-League's done a good job. And this is where Fox Sports has to be congratulated because they had a long-term plan to rebuild that sport and build it up. And they went into partnership. And it's why basketball was stupid to go to free-to-air because they couldn't monetize the number of eyeballs they got. They could have got guaranteed money from Fox Sports. So they acted as a partner and said, we will grow the game. We'll give some games to SBS. So the coverage angle and argument doesn't hold water for me because it won't be long where women's sport will be covered. So what we have to do then is say, okay, here's the entire sports pie. How can we make it more equitable? So if you're a young girl growing up in Australia and you have the ambition to be a full-time professional sports person, yes, if you're good enough, you might go overseas, but why can't you play in the W League women's soccer, the WNBL, and be paid at least some kind of full-time wage? And we seem to be miles off that. And so Rita told it how it was today, but what I'd like to see is other people say where it should be.
But I was surprised that Rita said that she doesn't like watching women's sport at all.
But that's a personal preference. She's
but
not
I was
reporting.
Surprised. I was surprised.
Yeah, it's a personal opinion. And look, the article gets a little more edge because it's a woman saying that. But really, she's just saying what lots of sports people believe and feel. And because sport is set up, and this ties back into how we started the week, you know, because we had the argument about, you know, well, Australian rules football isn't soccer, it isn't, you know, basketball, and we often hear that. And that's, you know, this kind of masculine framework that sport has traditionally always been part of and is a representative of. You know, Rita was really tying into that sport is about, you know, bigger, stronger, faster, and men are more likely to be the best proponents of that. But what I'd like to see, what a utopia would be like, equestrian, where the men and women compete together. I mean, imagine if Usain Bolt and the fastest woman were in the same race, but we did it like the stall gift and she had 2 seconds head start and he had to chase her down. I'd love to see that race. You know, we could do it if we want to. We just don't want to.
Well, it's that's not going to happen. I mean, obviously, we're not going to have handicap racing at the Olympic Games, are we?
We just don't want to. There's not enough social pressure for people because we are, you know, from the time that babies are born, we paint one room pink if it's a girl and one room. So, you know, it almost feels innate. The idea of segregating the sexes just seems so natural that we can't bring ourselves to think of sport in any other way.
A lot of this, I reckon, came out of the fact of the Matildas playing in the World Cup and
of
doing
course.
So well,
that's
getting through to
the
quarterfinals, and
yeah.
I'm certain that's what was in the back of Rita's mind. Plus, there was a number of people saying that Lisa Devanna, of course, who scored the She's scored twice now, in fact, and in the last three World Cups, she's actually scored. She's the Tim Cahill version, of course, of the female. But they're only picking up like $500 a game.
You know, it's probably costing them money to play.
I mean, on the world stage now, obviously the World Cup of soccer is going somewhere around the world. I mean, you know, soccer-loving countries probably taking it you know, a lot more than what we are. But, you know, we're playing Japan coming up on Sunday, I think it is. And it's going to be a big game for Australian soccer. But the girls running around, you know, they're going to pick up about $500.
And look, the point is, and so there's how much they earn. But, and as they go deeper into the tournament, a lot of the population will start following and they will watch. And so the ratings, if the Matildas make the final, then there'll be, you know, hundreds
we'll
of thousands.
We'll jump on board.
We'll all jump on board.
But only for that moment you're
exactly,
suggesting.
Exactly, exactly. And so what does a young girl who's good at soccer at under-9s, under-10s, under-12s, who does she look to as her role model? And also what, you know, young boy playing footy, an Auskick, he knows that every single, there are 750 footballers who earn an average of $300,000 a year. That's Australian Rules' great marketing pitch is, okay, you're good at basketball, but you know what? You've got a great chance of setting yourself up for life with our game. Come and join us. And it works. Now, the young girls can't do that. We should be able to create sport so that even if, you know, what Rita says is right at the moment, that they're not going to get the coverage, people aren't going to watch, and you'd love it to be different, but let's say that's going to be the way it is, then let's divvy up the pie.
We'll take a break. Sports Central is coming up. Some other big talking topics coming up, sport in the media. Now, Richo, of course, off to the races, has been sent to the spelling paddock for a week. He's gone up to Queensland, and he's spelling up there because when he comes back, he'll have a lot of work to do with Channel 7+. Plus, he's got to come back refreshed.
He the face? Do we know this?
He will be the face.
He will be the face.
No
surely,
doubt about it. He'll be the surely face of Channel 7's broadcast, of course, of racing in the state of Victoria. But he'll also come back refreshed, of course, with value, which is very, very important.
With a week off, how much value is he going to have?
He'll come back, and he'll be ready to go, leading into what's, you know, through the rest of the winter, and then, of course, into spring racing as well.
Can I say something about Richo in all seriousness, though? Because I know you two have a nice banter going, but I'm astounded at the man's knowledge on racing because he's a lot younger than I am. And you've got a fantastic memory. You have got the best memory of anyone I know. But Richo really genuinely does know his stuff. And I would love to see him be the face of the new Channel 7 racing channel, genuinely, because I love it when presenters also really know their stuff. You know, so he's a great presenter. But to be honest, you can train people. You know, you can almost train, not anyone, but, you know, it's a skill, but let's not think that you can't broaden the field. But to get somebody who can ad-lib, he's entertaining, looks good on TV, and genuinely knows his stuff.
I don't know whether he looks good on TV.
Oh, no, I think he does. No, he would be a fantastic choice, but
he reckons he looks a bit like Bruce Willis. Do you know that? Richo reckons he looks a bit like Bruce Willis.
He's got the same haircut.
He sees Bruce Willis and he thinks, that's me. What about Channel 7 and this TV rights deal?
Yeah, well, this is this is a great thing for racing, I think, because it broadens the appeal. I think if they can sort out the drama with Sky, the punters do need a service that shows the first horse and the last horse, because the two different, we've talked about this before with the Melbourne Cup, is there are two different ways of covering racing. And one is that the punters want to know where their horse is in the field and whether or not it's got a chance of winning. And so Sky doesn't have the luxury of, you know, doing the bells and whistles and Frenching it up, as Channel 7 likes to say with their vernacular about the French Open, and sort of putting some creative things in and low shot from under the, you know, the flower bed and all that kind of thing. But I think we might end up with the best of both worlds, that if the punters have an opportunity to have the pure racing coverage on Sky and Channel 7 show it the way they want to show it, they might actually broaden the audience and go back to racing being something other than just for the pure punters, that actually it can become a sport again and just something that's great to watch and tell some stories. And this is what TVN attempted to do, and they did it to a point, but they never really embraced it in the same way that I think Channel 7 will, because they will have the people and the talent and the producers to really tell the stories. I'm looking forward to it. I was lucky enough to work for TVN for a little while, and I was surprised at how invested I was, because you met the people, you met the trainers and the jockeys, and you really cared about the horse result, not because I was going to win money on it, but because, you know, that was their livelihood. And you thought, well, gee, if that horse gets up, I know that the strapper and all those people you met at the stables, they're all going to have a good week, and it keeps them in a job.
What about also quickly the sling tackle in the media this week?
Oh, look,
it's been a hot issue.
Yeah, it's
debated by many.
Yes, and I heard you guys debating it as well. Look, from my point of view, the coverage it's been a good, this is, the media's performed its job because there's been good, robust debate about it, and there's been good opinion, and this is where commentary and analysis comes to the fore, because it informs people, why don't we want this part of the game? And this idea that, well, let's leave it to the Corey Wingard, because Corey Wingard was the one
Chad.
Who was... Sorry?
Chad.
Oh, sorry, Chad. Corey Wingard. Yeah, he's a reporter, I think. That's where I got that from. He's a reporter on Channel 10. Chad Wingard, sorry, who was defending, I guess, the kind of masculinity of sport, which we were talking about before.
That's coming up. We've got him here somewhere. We've got Chad Wingard. Have we got Chad Wingard out there somewhere?
I didn't give them enough warning. I was going to play that before, and I thought...
I think when you said Corey, that might have thrown...
thrown them a bit.
That's thrown
he, remember, he was the one that I was sort of quoting before that said, you know...
Here
it's
he
like
is
a
now.
Game,
we've
like,
got him now.
Oh, there we go. Here we go.
It's a physical game. It's football. We're not playing soccer. We're not playing a game where you can't hit him. It's really... It's just that type of game, and Robbie's just... It's just an unlucky occurrence, I think.
Now, see, the problem with that is that that misinforms the population. Yeah. It really does, because there's one thing to say that, you know, footy's a game of... And we understand that. You know, it is a physical contest game. And this is why, you know, the athlete who plays Australian rules football has to be nearly everything in one. They have to have great aerobic capacity. They have to be able to have skills. They have to build up their body, not so they can belt somebody, but so that they can withstand collisions, you know, that are going to happen in a game. But when you drive someone's head into the ground, you're actually overstepping the mark, because it's beyond a tackle, I think. You're actually causing potentially, you know, a life-threatening injury or an injury that might end up in paralysis. And that's why the AFL has been so strong on it. And that's why we need that to be stamped out. And so we don't need players who are the role models of the game to endorse that kind of conduct.
Now, you've got to protect the game from itself. And obviously, at times, you've got to protect players from themselves, because he was talking absolute gibberish, Chad Wingard. Complete
gibberish. I had to go into uni. I was listening. Did he get it? Did Patrick?
I don't know yet. Last weekend.
I can't remember who got gibberish of the week, but because I love to hear it, but I had to actually go and do some work, so they wouldn't let me listen to the radio
in
the meeting.
I'll check who won Patrick's gibberish
great
of
segment.
The week.
Look, can I just go back to the rights very quickly?
Yes, quickly.
Just very quickly. The reason that Channel 7 is going after all these rights, because they're going after everything. Stall Gift, you know, the big ones, Wimbledon. They believe that this is the way to retain a free-to-air audience, to get mass audiences. And this is why they're going after so many rights, because they know that a whole lot of people will watch in one spot, and so then they can go to the advertiser and say, we've still got the most people.
Okay, after the break, we'll find out who is Dave's Media Performer of the Week. Welcome back. It's 10 minutes to midday. I want to play that bit of audio that won Patrick Smith's Gibberish of the Week. I did nominate to him Chad Wingard as Gibberish of the Week, but this won at Patrick's Famous Award.
He's a chance. He's a chance. He got a little bit sorer. So, you know, Jack, well, all our players, we won't play him if they're not right to play. He's a real chance to play. He's probably as much chance not to. So I haven't given you much there, Geno. He's probably 50-50 there.
That was Alan Richardson, who won Gibberish the Week with that simple question, you know, about Jack Billings playing next week.
Now, you know why that happened, of course. Because he didn't want to say whether Jack was going to play or not. So he's thinking on the run, oh, well, he's a chit. And then he's going, oh, actually, and I might not. In his head, he's going, no, actually, I might not play him. Oh, I'll end up. And, but at least, I'll tell you what is funny about that, is at least he's called it.
Yes.
You know, he's gone, no, all right, I haven't given you much.
He's called gibberish on himself, actually.
He's almost called gibberish on himself.
He should have said, you know what, I'm a contender for Patrick Smith's Gibberish of the Week.
But of course, coaches find themselves in a position where they're forced to do, you know, they've got to comply. The AFL says you must do a media appearance, but they don't want to say anything. And I think Ross Lyon took a different approach last night.
Yeah, look, they don't start with it. They tend to, their backs tend to flush and press up, but they get under some pressure. They really go to a six wing, so forward rolls up, plays the wing, and they drop the winger back as a seventh defender. It's about ground position. Centre back, we'll look to make him more accountable. When they've got ground position on us, we'll accept plus one back on us, so we're you know, keep a number around the ball. So it'll be a sort of fluid situation where we want to man him up and don't want to man him up.
I reckon Ross Lyon thought, you know what, I'm going to take the piss out of these people. That's what he said when they said, go ask him that question. And he's just rolled out every cliche, modern language talk.
Well, I don't know if it's cliche. It's coach box terminology, isn't it?
Cliche for them, though.
Yeah, so he's decided, rather than tie himself in knots and say, well, I'm not going to talk about anything, I'm going to go the other way. I'll tell you exactly what.
But no one will understand one.
But no one will understand it. Well, if you're an assistant coach in the AFL system, you might.
I reckon that was very funny. I reckon Ross, after he left that interview, I reckon he would have been giggling. He would have thought,
he would
have
been.
That's some of my very, very best work. I reckon it might be a nomination for Patrick Smith's famous gibberish of the week as well. Now, you always don't have gibberish week. You have media performer.
Performer of the week. This is a prestigious award. So, you know, gibberish of the week, I think, is a bit of a tune-up warning for people. But media performer of the week, of course, is a contender. You become a contender for media performer of the year, the reigning champion, Brendan Goddard. So media performer of the week this week is, again, somebody who spoke with great bravery about a personal affliction.
What excited me was the money, but the thing was I was on good money.
Yeah.
And then found myself blowing it all, which didn't make sense. It was just the thrill of seeing your horse, greyhound or trotter, go over that line first, and it become a thing where you thought it could happen every time. If I'd never punted that money away, what could I have given him in the future? Mm. If I didn't stop punting, what would he have had down the track? Probably, I don't know. He wouldn't have had a dad, most likely.
Yeah.
And that's the hardest thing. There was times where I felt like I just couldn't lose. There was days I just couldn't win. It was just all about chasing. If you won that day, you wanted to win more. If you lost, you chased. You can. There's nothing ever to come good out of punting.
And there are two things that I really like. That was Brent Querra earlier in the week with Daniel Harford on SEN. You could hear his voice. You know, you could hear the emotion. He's choking up. Can I just give a one percenter? I haven't had a one percenter for a while. And that's if you are doing an interview, particularly on radio, and this is not a shot at Ox or anyone else. It's just a general thing. When people are really sharing something that's very personal, very emotional, best thing you can do, shut up. Don't make any noises. Don't you're wanting to help them by agreeing, so you'll make a little noise like, all right, whatever. But actually, the silence is what makes it even more powerful. When they're stopping to think and you can hear their voice choking up, just literally turn your mic off and let them talk. Turn it back on when you need to ask a question or whatever, because it's very powerful radio. And it actually just interrupts the connection with the audience a bit. But again, there have been some good interviews on Drive this year. They've really had some, and you know, David obviously is well known for the work he does in that space, but there's been some terrific interviews. And so Brent Guerra, well done, because it's helping a lot of other people.
No, and you can hear that, of course. You can go to SEN and you can hear that Brent Guerra interview. Of course, it's posted up there online. That
I actually do that all the time. I go to the Daniel audio Harford page and you catch up on the interviews that you miss out on.
You can hear all the shows, of course, by just going to the website. Dave, always great to catch up from La Trobe University, and we'll catch up next week.
Thanks, KB.